Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks to all of you who subscribe to the series, who check us out every single week with the new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Always appreciate you listening. Really appreciate you listening. And especially when you leave comments, read those. I read those. I try to reply to every single one of them. Grateful when you can give ratings and reviews in the various spots where you can do that in. Of course, if you're not a subscriber, you can find us wherever you get your favorite podcast from, including iTunes and Apple Podcast and Spotify and YouTube. Hit us up. Subscribe. We'll send them to you. It'll be part of the fun. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm going to be talking with real estate. In fact, Martin Courtney jumps on the phone to discuss the band's fifth LP called The Main Thing. Now, this is an album with the band taking more chances. The word experimentation is thrown around a lot. We're going to get into exactly what that means within the album and outside of the record. They debuted the record in full long before they had even released it. That's an interesting tightrope, no net moment for a band. And then went and played outdoors instead of in stores. They played outside a bunch of record stores, famous ones that actually don't exist anymore. So I want to hear about that one and then get into the themes. It's an album with a purpose. That's what the band said. So we're going to hear about that purpose. And for Martin, a lot of this, you know, has to do with the world at large and the anxiety that everybody's feeling and how he sees that through the lens of having children. You get that in songs like Silent World and You, which he's going to tell us about both of those. And we're going to get into the new sound as well, especially with the kickoff, like the track Friday. It's the song that opens up the entire record. It's a song that the band heard it this way. I instantly heard it this way. It conjures up classic Air. It's a band that I've been talking about a lot. It's Moon Safari, Virgin Suicide. It's that era that you sort of hear when The Main Thing starts out. And we'll also hear about their collaboration with Amelia Meath of Sylvan Esso. She's on the first single for the record called Paper Cup. So let's jump into it. Talking about the record, The Main Thing, it's Kyle Meredith with Real Estate.
Hi, speaking.
So Real Estate is back with fifth album, right? Number five with The Main Thing. We're you know, talking with a lot of artists, especially about how their plans have changed. You guys were going to do, or maybe you did do, some of the outside things where you're playing outside of record shops that no longer exist. Were you able to do that?
Yes, we did that. That's kind of like, that was probably like a week before. It was like a week before the shit hit the fan, I guess, in terms of all this horror. But yeah, so we were in, it's actually weird. It feels like another world. But yeah, we were in New York playing. It was super fun. Honestly, it was really cool. We played in front of like three different record stores that, you know, me and Alex and Julian in the band grew up together in New Jersey. So we used to take the train into the city with some of our other friends and like go to these record stores, like especially Rocks in Your Head. I mean, we chose Rocks in Your Head, Other Music, and Kim's, because like those are the places we would go to mostly, and they're all out of business now. So yeah, we like set up in front of their former locations. The first one we did was Rocks in Your Head, which is like right in Soho, and we were lucky because I guess that storefront currently is empty, so it was like a little less awkward. There wasn't like a business in there like wondering what we were doing, which did happen later. But yeah, and I don't know, I was a little worried that, like, you know, we had like someone from our management company came and like filmed it, because it was just like, you know, we were just like, this will be kind of a fun thing to do, we may as well like document it. But I was a little bit worried that it was going to be like us performing for like two people and like some passersby, you know,
like busking,
and, like, it was going to be really lame. But like we got a good little crowd at each location, and some people came to all of them, and like, you know, there was like a little, it felt, I don't know, I'm not used to like, you know, busking. So I was a little nervous about it, just like kind of that it was going to be awkward, or that I wasn't going to be able to do it well or something. But I don't know, it was a beautiful day, and it actually felt really good to like sing outside in the city, and like it was really nice. And I think everybody that was there felt the same way. Like, it kind of felt like a special thing that we did. So yeah,
and that was just such cool. Legendary names too. I mean, you know, Kim's, of course, I think was the one I was most familiar with, but just, you know, the idea that those don't exist anymore is still it's so unfortunate and so crazy. So, you know, in a way of keeping that memory alive, I thought that was it was a really interesting idea.
Yeah, that was Alex's idea, because we did a few regular in-store. Actually, I mean, at the end of that day, after we did three quote-unquote out-stores, we ended up doing an actual in-store at Rough Trade in Brooklyn. And we did another in-store at this place in Jersey called Vintage Vinyl. But I don't know, we were talking about doing in-stores, and Bleeker just jokingly was like, Alex was just like, you know, we should just play outside all the, you know, as a joke. He was just like, we should play outside all the old, the closed down ones. And then we were all just like, it's actually a really good idea. We should probably do that. So, yeah, it actually was a good idea.
So, you know, and as far as live shows go, too, you know, when you back up further than that, you all played, like, was it the entire album in full before it ever came out? Is that what you did?
Yeah, a few times.
That's got to be an interesting moment for an artist, too. I mean, it's sort of like that cliche line of performing without a net, because it's not just that you're, you know, here's a few new songs before we get to some more familiars, like that. This is like an entire set of, you know, for an audience, and you have no, you know, no history with what you're about to hear. What was that like?
Yeah.
How was that different than your usual interaction of, you know, how you would do a show, how you would do a set?
Yeah, I mean, well, all of this, like, including the what I was just talking about, the record store things, like, this is all, like, in the interest of, we've been a band for over a decade, and just, like, trying to do things a little bit differently this time. So, yeah, we had the record, and, you know, just to keep it fresh, and so we had the record done back in, you know, a year ago, going back a year from that, like, back in March of last year, it was pretty much completely done. And obviously it didn't come out until a few weeks ago, like a year later. So we were just kind of sitting on it, and we had some shows booked, and we were looking to book some more shows. And obviously, you know, some of the new songs had been kind of making their way into our set here and there, just because it's like, it's fun to play new songs. But like, yeah, a whole set of new material is a little bit different. So we decided to book like sort of maybe like in certain cities that we have a history with, that maybe we tend to do well in, or places where we just, you know, that we've played a lot, like, so Chicago, Nashville, and Austin, we, like, decided to book, like, a smaller venue than we would normally play, and there was no opener, and so it was, you know, quote, an evening with Real Estate, and, which is cool. So we were able to do, like, basically what I'm saying is, like, it kind of softened the blow a little bit, because we played the whole record, and then we took, like, a little break, and then we came back and did, like, a traditional set of our normal, you know, of like songs that people would be familiar with from previous records. But no, I mean, it was cool. I think people knew what they were getting themselves into by coming to the show. And I think if anything, again, it was like, felt really special. You know, it was like kind of exciting. Hopefully for the fans, it was exciting to hear the music. You know, they got to hear the whole record, you know, months before it came out in a live setting. And for us, yeah, it's a little weird. You know, certain songs we may only ever have, like, you know, there's maybe one or two songs on the record that we might not play live in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that might be the only time we end up playing them live, you know, because it's just like, they're not that kind of song. A lot of times there's songs that, you know, you don't play live that much. So yeah, it was fun. It was, yeah, I want to do stuff. I want to do more stuff like that, you know, if we can ever tour again.
If anyone could ever tour again, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, throughout some of the interviews and the press for this record, with the main thing you all have talked about, you know, going into this and wanting, not wanting to just make another record. You said, you know, everything has to have a purpose for this. So if it becomes an album with a purpose, and I hope you don't mind the broad question here, what was the outcome of that? What ended up being the thing that this record ended up being?
For me, it was kind of just like a rededication and like kind of falling back in love with kind of the whole concept of making music. For me, like going into making this record, I kind of was feeling pretty weird. Like, again, it all seems so quaint now. but like a few years ago, you know, it was just like, there's just a lot going on in my own life and in the outside world with, you know, the election of our current president, and with, it just kind of felt like things were pretty dark, and mm-hmm. it was just hard to reconcile the idea of making a record. I mean, I just felt like maybe I should be doing something else with my life, you know, and I don't know. I just felt whatever. I mean, at the same time, I was spending, that was my life, was writing songs and making music, and I love making music, and it was what I wanted to do, but I just felt a little weird about it. So I think for me, and I think for all of us, and you know, and then also it played, you know, the idea of the fact that we've been a band for a decade and it's our fifth record, and we didn't want to just make another record and not have it. It felt like it needed to be an important album for us. It needed to be kind of a special record for us, because it just felt like a milestone. You know, it's our fifth record, and I don't know. Like it just was like this weird thing. If we're gonna make it, it needs to be extra good, extra, like we have to put more of ourselves into it. You know, and I was really feeling that strongly. So I think just the process of making this record, and like we took a really long time to make it. We took, you know, almost a year of our lives on and off in the studio. It was kind of the main creative sort of, it was what my mind was focused on, you know, mm-hmm. constantly for a year, was making this record. Yeah, it just kind of makes you realize how important it is to have something like this in your life. I mean, obviously I've got my family, and I've got, you know, like I think everybody has something that they can dedicate themselves to, but that was sort of what I think we all discovered, you know, making this record, was like this is, well, it's going to sound corny saying it, but it's the main thing for us. Making music is the main thing for us, and for our, you know, us as friends in this band, you know, it's something that we come together and we do as a group. And I don't know. I feel like we all kind of got a lot out of this process, yeah, just personally. So it just felt, you know, yeah.
You know, with all the things going on in the world that you're kind of talking about, especially filtering into this record and you being, you know, having a family, I feel like, you know, your family does play a lot into how you see what's happening. You know, the lens that we get to see, to hear these lyrics, seems to weave in and out of, like, seeing your own childhood through your kids' eyes. Am I far off in that assessment as far as these songs and definitely the alarming bits that are happening out there? You know, I have a son as well. I have a 12-year-old son, and it's definitely on my mind all the time how I would perceive what I see in the news, you know, 15 years ago versus how I would now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's for me there is that specific idea of like kind of reflecting on, you know, my own childhood through watching my kids experience their childhood, is that's definitely in there. And also just, yeah, the idea of like wanting to, yeah, I mean, just seeing upsetting things in the news and wanting to protect your kids from that. And I mean, my kids are a little younger. I mean, thankfully, I mean, even through this whole ordeal that we're dealing with right now with this virus, it's like, I'm thankful that my kids are not, and I don't know how it is having a 12-year-old, but like for me, I just don't know. They're just not old enough. My oldest is, she's going to be 6 soon. Mm-hmm. She can't really understand like she doesn't know enough to be worried. Not right. That she should
right.
be worried, but you know, it's like, it's, yeah. So, but yeah, the idea of kind of just wanting to create this safety bubble, which again is so much more pertinent now with what's going on. It's really insane. I mean, there's a song on the record called Silent World, which is like kind of about that, you know, wanting to create this, you know, like this life that we have, this family, our home, our, you know, our house, literally the idea of like when we're together and when we are in our home, we are safe, and the outside world is scary and evil, basically, you know, and like, how long can we keep that going for, and how long can we protect our kids from like the, you know, realities of the world? I don't know. It's crazy right now. I feel bad. It's like my kindergartner is like, she's probably already had her last day of kindergarten. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, she's not going back.
Right.
So sad.
Yeah.
I'm laughing, but it's not funny.
No, no, no. I mean, we're going through that same thing. But I do enjoy how you talk about that. I mean, even the moments that are obviously hard that you're singing about, but you get a song like You, and I feel like, you know, it's like almost like sweetness through the lens of parental fear. You know, and it's you know, sort of what you're saying, you know, wanting to take care of your child within this bubble. But that bubble is because that bubble is a fear bubble, you know, at the same time. So it's sweetness and
anxiety.
Fright. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just and it's, I'm sure it's been the same for every generation of parents. No matter what you're dealing with, there's always that anxiety, the parental anxiety. But like, I mean, in that, yeah, that song, it's like, yeah, the kind of responsibility that you feel to make your kid feel safe and to protect them from just things that they probably wouldn't be aware of anyway. You know what I mean? It's
right.
It's probably all my own craziness.
I don't think so. I think we're all on board with that line right there.
Yeah.
On the other side of it, you know, the album starts off with Friday, and I think that was maybe the most surprising moment, just because right out of the gates, you showcase the sound that you all had been talking about, the experimentation that you all have been talking about. You get this kind of washy beat-driven thing. My first thought was Air. I don't think I'm the only one to have said that it sort of makes me think of, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, you know, Moon Safari to Virgin Suicides, Air type of things. I'm absolutely in love with that. How did you all arrive at that sound?
Well, yeah, I mean, we were obviously thinking the same thing. But, yeah, I think, I honestly, that song that sounded so different when I wrote it. It was like, you know, it went through a lot of transformation as the band worked on it. And basically Jackson started playing that kind of like, I don't know what you'd call that beat, that like kind of half time or double time or whatever it is, the beat that he plays. And then Alex played, basically once he started playing that bass line that's in the intro of the song, we were like, ooh, this sounds like Air. We're like, so then we kind of added the string synth and, I mean, you know, it's, yeah. And then also, like, I think just we kept kind of layering it and, you know, I think that song is really cool too. And I really like the outro where it goes back into that same chord progression that it does in the intro but it kind of adds all this cacophonous noise. And there's like white noise, like from the ARP Odyssey, like the white noise setting on there, and that's kind of coming in and out. And Matt Barrick, the drummer who used to play in the Walkmen, mm-hmm. is doing this like these really big like timpani sounding like booms on the drums. Anyway, I just think that song is it's cool, and I'm glad other people like it too. I mean, yeah, it definitely feels like a step forward for us as well, I think, to me.
It's also an interesting, I don't know if I'd say coincidence, because music cycles in 20 years seems to be a thing, but I have talked about this band with Air more than I think any other right now in references. I actually had Nicholas Godin on the show a few weeks ago, and then Caribou had been mentioning them, and Nicole Adkins had been mentioning them, and then now here you are finding inspiration or I don't know if inspiration is the right word, but, you know, similarities anyway. But if this is the comeback, I am here for it anyway. That's one of my favorite sounds.
Yeah, Zeitgeist. Yeah, I guess.
And there's a lot of those moments, you know, that kind of happen throughout it. You know, and I'll compliment Paper Cup and having Amelia Meath on there. You know, we're big Sylvan Esso fans too. And as I heard, like, she wrote that her part like entirely separately too, right? So, I mean, that was not like jamming in the studio with direction.
No, yeah, she's kind of an old friend, and we just asked her if she'd be interested in doing it. And yeah, we did have like a little bit of an idea for a part, but we kind of gave her some like light direction, which she sent back to us, because she recorded that part remotely. It was very different from what we had in mind, and was actually so much better than what we had in mind. That's kind of the whole thing with this record, you know, like collaborated a lot with other people, which is new for us. And yeah, and it was kind of exciting in that way, you know, getting sort of fresh ideas that, you know, I mean, like if she had just done exactly what we, you know, suggested she do, it probably wouldn't have been as exciting, because it'd just be like, oh yeah, cool, you did the thing that we said. Sounds great. I mean, I'm sure it would have sounded awesome, but like, it's more exciting when you can be surprised,
right?
You know?
Well, it's definitely got moments of surprise all over the record. I love it. I always enjoy what you all do, and I'm so happy that you're still pushing forward and doing all of this. So I thank you. Thank you for that, and congratulations on this record, man.
Thank you so much.
All right. Martin, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for taking the time, especially in this weird little moment in history that we're in. I appreciate all this. So hopefully, we'll get back on track some point, and I'll be able to hear what this sounds like live out there as well.
Yeah, seriously, man. All right. Well, yeah, I appreciate it. Hope everybody's doing well in your life.
All right, man. Thank you. Take care. We'll see you around.
All right, bye.
My thanks to Martin Courtney. Real Estate, the new record is called Main Thing, and it's out now. So I'll also include a bonus interview from the last time I talked to Real Estate. This was back in 2017 when they were touring the record In Mind, receiving another round of praise from critics and fans alike. So part of the story with that LP is that the longtime collaborator Julian Lynch took over on guitar. So here's part two. I'm speaking with Alex Bleeker this time around about the changes and surfing. Kyle Meredith with Real Estate.
The first thing I caught about this record is this sounds like the most settled record for you guys yet. You've always had that nice breezy sound that everyone talks about, but there's something about this that really feels like, you know, the comfortable in our own skin, really know what we're doing, which is completely surprising given the upheaval to the backstory, not only with the member changes, but everybody moving. That's not really a formula that'll, you know, kind of allows for that, but you guys have pulled it off, and I was wondering, you know, what you would attribute that to.
Well, the amount of time that everyone in this band has played music together, we have a strong musical connection. We have, you know, like a lot of different strong musical voices coming together to compromise and work together and create one musical whole, you know. Mm-hmm. There's sort of a lot of theme of the tour that we're on is communication, the communication tour. 2017, and there's a lot of different communicating happening, both musically and otherwise, in the formation of this record. And so I guess, we can attribute it to that. That's one of the band's strengths, I would say.
Well, I mean, you talk about, you know, wanting to go in here and find new sounds. Were there conversations going into the record as far as really, like, we do want it to sound like this, or?
I mean, the idea was we felt that with our previous record, Atlas, we'd done pretty good job of documenting like what the band can achieve and sound like live. Not to say that there aren't overdubs on that record, but that, you know, they're like really based on strong basic takes, you know, the whole band playing together. We used a similar method to get the actual tracking down in this record, but I think there was always an impulse. The idea was to use the studio as a means to explore new territory, as like an exploratory instrument to like express new ideas, find new textures, make new musical discoveries, things like that.
And I know a lot of it, the conversation too has been on, you know, Julian coming into the band, but as I look back, it seems like there's at least been a little bit of a lineup change with every single record, right?
That is true, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's kind of interesting that everyone's making such a big deal about it this time.
I guess that's an astute... that's an astute observation there.
Yeah. Well, was there a transitional period for you because of it this time, or is it something that you're sort of used to?
It's definitely been a transition, and one that we, you know, enjoy thoroughly. You know, it's like if nothing else has given us the ability to, like I was saying before, just continue to forge new territory and explore new ground. I mean, but, you know, in some ways it's been a transition, but in other ways it's been extremely comfortable because Julian is one of the first people that I ever played music with, yeah, ever. And have, you know, the very first tour I ever went on was with him and playing his music, and we played the band together in high school. So that connection is there, you know. But he obviously brings a whole new sonic palette to the table, which has been kind of, it's like at once exciting because it's like blazing new territory, and also really comfortable and familiar because it's a person whose personal and musical style I've been so familiar with for so long, you know?
Yeah. And the buzziness in some of those leads that he has and everything. I was kind of wondering, I know one of the songs that I think speaks mostly to him being in the band is Two Arrows, and that extended jam that comes out of the end of it. Where did that come from? What's the story there?
That was just like, you know, the way we recorded this record was we were all getting together and playing for long hours, like every day for a sustained period of time. Like we'd get together for a couple of weeks and then go together into this practice studio and work on arrangements for songs, and then also like inevitably we'd just be like messing around, jamming, And that was a chord progression that came out of us, if I remember correctly, just everyone in the band playing together and jamming and just repeating this thing over and over again and being like, well, we like that. We should, like, stick it on the record somewhere as, like, an outro or, like, so an interlude or tack it on. And then we were simultaneously working on the first part of the song, Two Arrows, and just were feeling that it needed something, you know. It was just a pleasant enough song, but, like, it really sort of comes to life with this other... It was basically we like mashed together these two disparate ideas.
Yeah, it's cool and works as almost a centerpiece for the whole thing.
Cool.
Although, yeah. You know, when I listen to the whole record, I guess this one in my mind has more of a Bee Gees sound than you guys have ever pulled off, which I was thinking, how do a few guys from Jersey end up getting so in tune with this traditional West Coast music? And then I look to see, well, you've landed in California, so that's got to be at least some part of it.
That's true, you know, and like I said before, none of these things, like, especially now, like maybe with the first record, we were trying to sort of conjure that kind of imagery, but at this point, if any of that kind of influence is entirely subconscious, you know, yeah. Like we're not like, hey, this is the theme, or like, let's make it sound like this, you know, it's just whatever happens to be coming out organically, you know.
With that in mind, though, California, I poking around on your Twitter page, are you a surfer? Do you surf?
I am, yeah. I just started, actually, when I moved out there. I moved out there almost 2 years ago now, a little over a year and a half, and I just happened to move to this place that is perfect to learn. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice learning surf break on, and so I just, like, at first just casually picked it up, you know, was like, I'll try this, you know, everyone here seems to be doing it, and now I'm, like, totally hooked. Yeah. I, like, can't get enough, and I'm like, you know, we're on tour right now, I'm actually sitting in the van while I'm talking to you, and I'm like, it adds this whole other element to touring, because I'm like, where am I going to be in coastal cities, where can I surf, you know, or like, I'm like, thinking about like relaxing between legs of tours, is like, I just need to like get a couple of days of surfing in, so I can, and I never, I'm, you know, 30 now, I never expected.
Right.
This is a totally like shocking new development for me. I never anticipated that it would be such a part of my life. It's cool and kind of funny. I laugh at myself too. It's like, geez, I really like moved to California. You know?
Well, it's so my joke about it is for myself personally. I'm in landlocked Kentucky, and I've always been obsessed with surfing, and I've never done it once in my life. I mean, like, I've been out on the, like, those, like, standing paddle boards or whatever, just, you know, in the Gulf or whatever, but I've never done it. I, like, subscribe to the World Surf League and watch all the competitions around the world.
Really?
I love it. Never have I done it, though, and I'm 35,
so... I'm not that kind of, like, a ripper, you know, like, shortboard shredder.
Oh, I just like watching it.
Kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, but, like that stuff, surf competition stuff is all, like... That's like wild, you know.
Sure.
Nowhere. But I just get on like a pretty long board and just like ride the waves. Yeah, it's super fun.
I gotta do it. I gotta do it one day.
I encourage you to like take a trip with that specific objective in mind, because you can be standing and riding waves a lot more quickly than you think. I bet.
Yeah. All right. I will. I have to. I know I have to. So it's gonna happen.
You have to. You have to. Yeah. You really have to. You might end up moving out of Kentucky if you do it, though. So be careful.
All right, buddy. Alex, thank you so much for talking today. I'm enjoying In Mind. I'm really happy you guys are doing everything you're doing. So thanks for the conversation today.
Hey, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for the interest, and thanks for calling.
All right, man. Thank you very much. We'll see you.
All right.
Take care.
Have a good one. Take it easy. Bye.
Alex Bleeker of Real Estate right there. That one goes back to 2017's In Mind. And again, the new record is called The Main Thing. Thanks again to Martin Courtney for speaking to me about that one. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Again, if you're not already a subscriber, I hope you do follow along with us. We have new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and it's a great way to keep up with all your favorite artists and discover new artists and hear about what's happening in music. You can find us at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts from. Just type in Kyle Meredith With. After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews as well. Again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can find me on just about any social media platform at Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm Leo Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music, speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.